News Radio WJPF, Illinois State Representative Terry Bryant. Terry, morning. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
And you know what? It's going to be a busy day for you because you have this event set up tonight, and you, along with Patrick Windhorse, are going to be hosting a town hall meeting in Murfreesboro tonight.
We are. We had intended originally to have it in Carbondale, but they're doing some HVAC work there at the Civic Center, and so we moved it over to Murfreesboro, and I think it's going to be a packed house, so people should get there a little bit early.
And specifically on this, the prosperity for a presentation, Americans for Prosperity for a presentation of Governor Pritzker's discussed income tax through progressive tax and income tax increase for some people anyway.
Yes, so we're planning to do this very similar to the town halls we've already been having. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the Second Amendment issues. We'll talk a little bit about the possibility of recreational marijuana being approved. We're going to talk a little bit, I think, about what's going to happen with the $15 an hour minimum wage. But we're also going to be talking about what the governor calls the fair tax, what we're calling a jobs tax. And that's primarily because it's going to hurt jobs in our area. We're already suffering from the fact that we don't have very many jobs. We're economically depressed in our area. Now we've been hit with a $15 an hour minimum wage. And when we get hit with a progressive or graduated income tax or a jobs tax, I said, as we call it, we're going to be really hurting. We want people to see why.
Now, it's kind of interesting when you look at this because there are a lot of things in the air, and you just referenced them, marijuana, FOID cards, Second Amendment stuff. I mean, you look at all the progressive tax, a really big item, but we have not seen details. We've seen some ideas. I read an opinion piece, I think it was Rich Miller from Capital Facts yesterday, saying that, you know, that when you guys get back into the session after the spring break, which is going to be coming up on the 30th, I believe, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
When you're going back, yeah. that a lot has been going on behind the scenes, talking about things like the progressive tax and talking about how legal recreational marijuana would work and how legalized sports gambling will work, that we'll start seeing details when you return from this spring break.
Yeah, so I can tell you real quickly on the Second Amendment issues. I'm the ranking member on a working group that was put together, and I'll rattle off a couple of things that are on there. Fingerprinting for FOID cards, moving from $10 to $50, having it go from 10 years down to 5 years. And there's just a multitude of other issues regarding FOID cards and continued attempts to try to diminish our rights. The marijuana issue, there's a working group going on with that as well. I'm told that the sticking point on that at this point is how much home grow would be allowed. Of course, law enforcement certainly doesn't want home grow, because how would you tell what is grown in a legalized facility as opposed to what is grown at home? And you know, they're just, as I said, multitude of these kind of issues that really are up in the air. And even though you have Republicans sitting at the table, it's obvious when you come in the room that your voice is not being heard, because we've had two official meetings now on the Second Amendment Working Group, and each time we've told them that the fingerprinting is a non-starter, and every time we come back in, fingerprinting is the first thing that's on the agenda. So I'm sure that it's working very similarly in the marijuana issue. As far as gambling goes, there's a bill talking about sports gambling, and I believe that if that sports gambling bill is passed, we won't see a bill that would have to do with mini casinos. And you know, we've wanted very much to move the resort at Walker's Bluff ahead, and if we get the sports gambling bill, I don't think that they will move the bill that would allow for the resort at Walker's Bluff to have a mini casino. So there's a lot of things in the air. We're juggling.
Well, you know, specifically, people have already messaged me this morning wanting to know what are the prospects of Walker's Bluff. Not very encouraging at this point, because so much of the oxygen in the room is being sucked up on legalized sports gambling across the state. I mean, is that the
takeaway?
Right.
So, Well, what always happens with gambling bills is they become Christmas tree bills, which is everybody has their little pet project on there. And, of course, you know, Representative Hoffman, Leader Hoffman, has wants some additional gambling at in Cahokia or at Fairmont Racetrack. And so you've got horse betting, you've got mini casinos, you've got the sports gambling, all involved. You've got some folks who want additional slots, issue after issue, that will get added on there. And so I don't really know if anything will pass. So what they're trying to do is separate the sports gambling off. That seems to be the more popular issue, especially with millennials. They think that they can get that passed, but if they separate those issues, then I don't believe that we will see anything that has to do with Walker's Bluff.
You know, let's go back to just a couple of moments of this Foyd card issue. $50 mm-hmm. for a Foyd card that is good for only 5 years, so you pay more, but it's good for a shorter period of time. Fingerprinting to get it. I don't need to fingerprint to go vote. It's an enumerated right, and now we got to have to be fingerprinted to get it. No more private sales of firearms. You'd have to go through the FFL, and you have mm-hmm. to apply for a Foyd in person only at state police headquarters. When I brought that up with Richard Pearson, Illinois State Rifle Association, last week, he said the sheer number of people who would be at a police station in one of the headquarters every day to be able to keep up with the number. He says, I think he quoted 86 a day if you averaged it out, saying we don't have the staff, the personnel, the parking to be able to handle the customer influx at a state police station.
Yeah, I think the person that put that forward didn't really realize that there are only, I think it's 27 state police headquarters. So you're going to have everyone in the state in 102 counties going to 27 facilities. And I also don't think that they realize the number of Foyd cards that are processed daily. So in addition to that, add in the fact that you have to pay for the fingerprinting yourself, and there are background checks. So there's some components in this negotiation that would say you would have to have a background check done and you would have to pay for that as well. That can be upwards of $300. So I believe the goal here is to try to make it so expensive to own a firearm legally that people that you really will only have wealthy people that are doing it. And all of this is in response to the Aurora shooting. We know what the issues were in Aurora, and we can fix those mostly with fixing the state police database. So we have to figure out how to give the state police a little bit more money so that they can do that. But you have to go back to the CCL licenses. Remember that when that first started, the $150 fee for CCLs was only supposed to be for a short period of time so you could fund the new technology that was needed, the database. So right now, we should be talking about making that $150 go away. Instead, we're talking about keeping the $150 permanently, and they're talking about adding on what amounts to an additional, you know, the additional, you're going from 10 to 50 and another reducing it another 5 years. So that's a huge increase for you to be able to exercise your Second Amendment right.
Just got a call from Ruby, or sent a message in from Ruby from Murfreesboro. Says, please ask Terry about the Invest in Kids Act tax credit scholarship, supposedly a 75% Illinois income tax credit.
I think what Ruby's talking about is the incentive that was put into last year's budget, where you can actually put money into a particular fund, and then parents can access that so that they can send their kids to private schools. That was supposed to be a 5-year pilot program. So when that was put into the budget, there were some negotiations that was done. There were some Republican issues that were given up in order to get that funding. And if that's what Ruby's talking about, it's a little bit frustrating whenever you go into one budget negotiation, you negotiate that in good faith, and then 1 year into the pilot program, the Democrat leadership wants to do away with the pilot program. It should be allowed to run at least its full 5 years of pilot, because that was part of the negotiation. There are kids that are taking advantage of that program right now who should be allowed to at least finish out their high school if they participated in that, and they're trying to pull that money back. So I believe that's what Ruby's talking about, and I would say that I didn't really want to do that initially, but because we did do it and we piloted it for 5 years, it should be allowed to complete that full 5 years.
Another issue that I saw you supporting another legislator on specifically was stiffer penalties for passing school buses that was discussed in the first legislative break.
Yeah, that was Darren Bailey's bill, and it's kind of a no-brainer. You know, we've had problems in our own region where someone passes a school bus when the stop arm is down on the bus. There's even been some consideration about making those arms longer. But the legislator, Representative Conyers Irvin, who now has been elected to a position in, I can't remember if it's the city of Chicago or Cook County, so she'll be leaving the legislature. She was quite offended by the fact that we would want to charge more money for someone for passing a stopped school bus. I actually didn't understand her pushback at all. I think it's a good bill. I voted yes on it. It passed the House, and I hope that the governor will eventually sign that into law.
Well, and here, you know, the fact is there's a lot of things that I don't understand because they seem in conflict to me. I'm going to give you an example here. I saw that you had taken exception. There had been a billboard placed on the Illinois-Missouri border welcoming women to the state so they could have a safe, legal abortion. The Hope Clinic, I would think. All right, so yeah. Welcome, all right, to Illinois, and with new proposed legislation that you could be 16, you don't have to tell your mom and dad because, well, you're in a situation and you apparently can make your own health care decisions about this. But at the same time, the governor signs legislation that says, well, you can't make a decision about your health if it involves smoking until you're 21. These two issues, to me, trying to occupy the same state, what is the age in which someone is responsible for making good decisions. Well, let's drop the voting age to 16, 18 years of age, 16 years of age. Well, but you just told me that you aren't smart enough to make a decision about your own health until you're 21. I see these things as direct conflicts and a standard for, what you and I was raised in the church is age of accountability, but if that was about, you know, morality. But I think when it comes to law, we need to have some uniformity as well.
Well, the same people who are pushing the bills that you just referenced, there was also a bill just before we went on break that says that if you are 12 years old or older, you can receive preventative HIV, AIDS, and other communicable diseases prevention medications without parental consent. So it's 12 years old and up. So you can go in, get a medication that can cause liver failure, that can cause kidney problems, and you don't have to tell your parents. At the same time, in the Judiciary Criminal Committee, of which I'm the minority spokesperson, there are bills where they're trying to reduce the ability to put a penalty on someone if they're under 25 years old. The thinking being that, and this isn't gender discrimination, it's just what they use, that males do not, their brains do not fully develop until they're 25 years old. So we want to say that you can't charge a male with a felony until they're 25 years old, but we want to say that you can be 12 years old and go in and get a drug that can affect the rest of your life without parental consent. It's hypocrisy at its worst, and it's time that people stop sitting and saying, well, I don't want to get involved in government or politics because it's dirty business. Well, it is dirty business, and everyone's voices need to be heard. That's why we're doing these town hall meetings. Come in and be heard, and we will be there listening. We are going to make sure that that we do a presentation telling individuals why the progressive income tax is not a good idea. Remember, it can't even go in effect for two more years. In the meantime, we've got a budget this year that's $3.5 billion out of whack. We owe $8.5 billion in unfunded bills, and we've got $130 billion in unfunded pension liability. What the heck?
Right. I'm just glad you caught yourself before you went any farther with that.
Yeah, good. Well, my husband's sitting in the car with me right now, and he doesn't like if I cuss.
Well, I've got a dog that feels the same way at home. If I say bad words, he gets upset and goes hides under it. I guess he can feel the bad vibes. But you know what's interesting is whenever I'm here, when I listen to you, I hear a frustration that I'm also hearing on the part of taxpayers, voters in this state, this bewildering nature and this flurry of education, these flurry of legislation, I should say, and the lack of details. But they say that's going to be clearing up whenever they say, anyway, opinion is, when the legislature returns on April 30th. Quickly, before I let you go, I want to revisit the subject once again. If you're just joining us, Illinois State Representative Terry Bryant is this Murfreesboro Town Hall meeting tonight with you and State Representative Patrick Windhorst.
We want to make sure that everyone shows up early. I would suggest you be there by 5 o'clock, no later. We will be there to greet you. We'll be there to answer questions that you have. We'll put on a presentation about the progressive income tax. We'll allow, certainly for those who are supporting it, to be heard as well. But certainly I am not going to be supporting that progressive income tax, and we're going to tell you why.